You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome to the Hype Seat. Ariella Sharman.
Welcome to the Hype Seat. Okay, so first and foremost, you might notice that the setup is a little bit different now than it was previously.
I do.
And I'm like talking to you, and I'm talking to our audience too, because our full four listeners need to know that we are now in the Pod Plus studio. And the Pod Plus studio is brand new. It's a collaboration that we did with Pod Populi. So Pod Populi and Hype Boss have collaborated to create this Pod Plus studio. We are at the mothership here in Jupiter, mostly because my In the Hype Seat podcast was not good. Like, it was not good. Okay, so I have Ariella Sharman with me, who is my director of marketing for Meyer Lucas, and she's one of our founding partners at Hype Boss. And when we started recording the In the Hype Seat podcast, I feel like everyone collectively agreed that it was like the quality was just not good. Like, we were trying to DIY it.
It just needed to be better.
We could do better.
We can do better.
So we have this studio here at the mothership, and we realized that we needed to outsource it. So long story short, we have this Pod Plus studio now, and that's where we're recording.
Love it.
Right?
I'm so excited.
I'm questioning whether or not I pressed all the buttons correctly. So
it might actually not be recording, and this just might be a wash. And if it is, we had some fun.
Fine. We had some fun. Okay, so I've been trying to get you to have a recorded conversation with me, whether it be a webinar or something, specifically because I want you to, like, I have heard your stories a handful of times, but I want to highlight and have you explain how, let me back up. When you first started working for Meyer Lucas, you came to us because, or we came to you, we found you, because you were a very niche local influencer. And what we needed at the time was someone that really understood social media, really understood marketing, really understood like tech, and just in general, like just was a smart person. Meyer Lucas is my real estate company, and we desperately needed a marketing director. And Hallie knew you. How did you guys know each other?
So we actually didn't know each other well. We had met at a restaurant maybe a year prior, just like running into each other. And then that night that I met her, we were at a dinner. It was like four or five of us at a table, and we just started talking and connected. And she's like, wait, like, you're really smart. I really think you'd be good at this job. And I had just quit my job. I was like, oh, I just quit my job. You know what? I'm not really sure what I'm going to do next, but it'll be fine. And Hallie's like, I think you should work for Holly Meyer Lucas. And I think we met maybe a few days later.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny because she basically told me that we were hiring you. Like, it was like no question. And I was like, listen, I trust your judgment. Because I don't want to say that we were so desperate at that point, because it like implies that we would have taken anyone.
Let's be real.
And I will be honest, we had kissed a bunch of frogs at that point. Hiring marketing help is probably, I think, the hardest thing to do in the 21st century. Because, first of all, everyone thinks that they're a marketing person. Secondly, everyone thinks that they're a social media person. And I think the thing that you're so uniquely good at is, like, you're just really freaking smart. And you're so techie. And you're so dialed into digital marketing, which is really what a marketing director needs to be dialed into. Like, I think it's really, I wouldn't say rare, but, like, finding the skill set for someone to run the marketing department of a real estate business and brand is like really, really hard. Anyway, you jumped in, you crushed it, all the things. Our Mario Lucas would not be where it is without you. And then we flew a little close to the sun and launched High Boss, which is our PR creative agency marketing platform. And you've been instrumental in that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I literally don't know what I would do without you. And which is ironic because this is also your last week.
This is literally my last
drama day. It's going to be the most disjointed podcast of all
Holly
time.
Holly doesn't actually believe I'm leaving. She has not told anyone. Actually, the team does not know because Holly has just like put in the back of her head that like it's not actually happening.
This is true.
I hate to admit to her that it's happening.
This is true. Okay, so Ariella is leaving
when you
us.
Watch this episode, guess what? I will no longer be here.
She will
Surprise!
Be on the job market, which is literally devastating for me. Well, not really.
Not really.
You're taking a step back, right?
Taking a step back. That's, yeah.
In your words, what are you doing?
I am helping my family.
That's fair.
That's all I got.
That's fair.
And planning a wedding. That's miserable.
Yeah.
You know.
I think you should also, I really think you should be going. So jokes aside, Ariella has given me at least 6 weeks. I don't know. How long? You gave me 6 formal weeks.
I give you like then, 5 formal weeks.
But then before that, when did you tell me initially that you wanted to take
like
a step back?
Like 3 weeks before that, I think.
So
it's been like 2 months. Like
okay, so
weeks.
Basically Ariella is like my right hand, my ride or die. And she comes to me. So with literally like 3 different companies. And comes to me and is like, hey, I need to take a step back. You know, I have some stuff going on with my family. Recently mm-hmm. engaged. I'm planning a wedding. I need to take a step back. And I go, cool, we'll deal. And then did not adjust her job whatsoever. And I wanted to. Not that I didn't want to. But I feel like we couldn't make you taking a step back work. Is that fair?
Yeah.
I feel like you also
It's just like I'm involved in everything. And then I'm also the person that's like, I'll do it. Because I'm like, if I see it needs to be done, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
So.
I think if you own a business or if you're that person in an organization and like you're listening to this, like I would hope that your leader makes you feel valuable. And if you have someone, it's literally gonna make me cry. Sorry. If you have someone that works for you that's like that, like hold on to them for dear life because I truly don't know what I'm gonna do without you. Like I really, really don't know what I'm gonna do without you. But I totally respect that you. So anyway, so fast forward a couple of weeks, which I think it was actually a couple of months, and Ariella is like, okay, so yo, like I am actually leaving. Mm-hmm. And we had like a formal, like, this is now my 6 weeks. Literally, this girl gave me 6 weeks. Like, can you even ask for like a better like employee? And in that 6 weeks, I have done exactly nothing to prepare for your departure.
Except for that I know.
Put off.
I kind of expected it, to be honest. I was like, there's no way. I was like, I know she says she's going to figure it out, but like, she will after I'm gone.
It's not entirely true. It's not entirely true. I have prepared.
We've hired
some
new people.
We've hired a bunch of people.
Yes.
I haven't emotionally prepared. I keep thinking that this day is going to come. So today is going to come and you're going to be like, okay, just kidding. Like, I'm not actually leaving.
You're okay. Gonna be waiting a little while longer.
The thing that's so annoying too is how much I love Ian. So your fiance, soon to be husband, is the freaking best. And if I was you, I would ride off into the sunset with him too.
Let's hope. I need him to win the lotto so we can.
That too.
You know, that would be great.
Why the fuck would you work here if you could not? Anyway, okay, so going back to how you, this is totally disjointed, but I don't care. Going back to how you started here. So I've been wanting you to do a webinar, podcast, something. And of course, like your last day, I'm like, all right.
You're like, here
we'll
you
record
are,
now.
You're here at the office? Oh, just come in.
We'll record now in the Brady studio.
Can I just say, every time without fail, it doesn't matter. She knows, Holly knows, I hate being on camera. I hate being in the video. I hate being all the photos. But she tells me every single time, I will not have to be in the video. I will not have to be on the camera. I will not have to be in the photos. And every time there is a photo shoot, I always prepare to have on makeup and have another outfit available because you already know she's going to make me be in it. Whether I want to or not, it doesn't
You're
matter.
So I'm good. Going to You're be in so it. Good on camera. You're so good on camera. That's
it's
why.
It's just there. So I'm like, okay, I'm already like mentally prepared.
When you first started, we were doing a community highlight video in Evergreen. And we had the whole thing planned out and like plotted out. And the videographer that we were working with which is actually one of the reasons why we launched Pod Plus and our like kind of video production platform situation, because the videographer we were working with like ended up not following our direction. So we couldn't end up using the video because it was right. So disjointed. But I was like, no, you're not going to need to be in it. Also, we need you in it.
Also, we need you in it. Like, that was, I think, my first time ever, like, with this. I think it was, in the first, like, month or two of me working at the company. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, I have to be in this video. Like, I don't even have makeup on. Like, what?
Okay, so
I got it. Sure.
My favorite thing about, so the last 2 years have been a whirlwind with launching Hypebos, which is our creative agency, PR company, social media management platform, whatever Hypebos is that like doesn't do it justice, but it's basically like a marketing company essentially. Mm-hmm. And my favorite thing has been building that with you because I feel like it has been like your expertise has been fully amplified. Like I think the real estate company, like you did an incredible job being our marketing director there. I don't know what I would have done without you. So, okay, going back to this, what I want to ask you about. Tell me about how, so when we first hired you, mm-hmm. you are a niche local influencer. Like that is like what you're known for. Never not eating.
Never not
hangry
eating.
Hangry therapist. The hangry therapist.
No one knows about the hangry therapist because it's just like a domain that I own.
Okay, so tell the people why the hangry therapist though. So take us back.
Okay,
take us back to call. Tell us about your background because
let's go back.
I would argue that if you look at Ariella Sherman, marketing director for Meyer Lucas, pretty major real estate company, now also founding partner of Hypebos, pretty major marketing entity. How does one become, like, do you have a degree in marketing?
I do not. I have no degree in marketing. I did go to FSU and I was a double major in psychology, family child sciences. And then I got my master's at UCF in mental health counseling. So I am a therapist. I was registered with the state as a mental health counselor and I am no longer because I don't do it anymore.
That's why. Why do you not? When did you make that career pivot? Like, how long after you got your master's did you realize that, like, you didn't want to be doing that anymore?
So I finished my master's in 2014. I had started in the counseling world earlier than that, maybe, like, 2011 in college. I was working for 2-on-1, volunteering, and then started my master's, which ended in 2014. And I was a therapist. I worked with kids and adolescents, trauma, substance abuse. Like, I loved counseling and I loved doing it. And I transitioned from being the therapist to in more managerial roles. So managing mental health facilities around the country, managing a nonprofit. And what I realized in that time, I had this like aha moment, what they call it in counseling, is that I don't need to be the one doing direct counseling to make a difference in somebody's life. And I was always on the side, like I had a lot of food photos as one. If you know me, I love to eat, had a lot of food photos in my phone. And like during some of that time, I just started posting the food to Instagram just because I love to eat. And the Instagram handle is Never Not Eating. And I just started doing it because I loved it and not accidentally, basically became an influencer, a local influencer of like food, lifestyle, some travel, but mostly food.
Did you have, you had the Never Not Eating handle, which by the way is my favorite handle of all time. It was funny when Hallie was first telling me about you years ago, mm-hmm. She was like, yeah, she's like, she's never not eating on Instagram. And I was like, wait, she is never not eating on Instagram or she is never not eating on Instagram? She was like, no, handle. Because I think I was following you already, but it's such a great, it's like, I feel like it summarizes your personality in a nutshell too. Like
yeah,
just never not eating.
Never not eating.
So did you have that before you started like getting paid for food content?
Yeah.
So
I had it like maybe, I don't know, 2016, 2015, 2016. Like
early.
I started it like, and again, like it was all just on the side for fun. I've always had a full-time job. I've always like had a full-time career and that was always just on the side for fun. So could it be something way more? Absolutely. Do I do all of the things for all of our clients and for Meyer Lucas that should I have done for that? Absolutely. But I don't know. It's just like an outlet. It's just something I love. And I got into it just because I love to eat. And then I'm able to also in that help businesses. And then through marketing, I can help. Again, you don't have to be in the counselor seat to help people, businesses, help them do better.
Yeah.
So
the other day I was down this rabbit hole about how, you know, how like Italians talk with their hands.
Yeah.
And so do you have Italian lineage? Okay. Because
Jewish
I feel like
Italian,
people,
they're the same thing.
Oh yeah. Duh. Like, I feel like I would love to know genetically if people from Italy are more prone to being neurodivergent because of how they, right?
Talk like, with their hands.
Don't you feel like there's like a genetic situation
Maybe.
There? And they're like, right?
Potentially.
Anyway, going back to what you were saying about how, I love how you like downplay shit. You're like, well, no, it was fun on the side. Like, okay, so full disclosure, like she gets paid a very decent amount of money to go to, so take us through that. So as a, because I think there's such, I've been obsessed with this forever. Not for me personally, like as you know, like I, or as you know, as people might not know, I am very not into the foodie scene, if you will. I think COVID messed up my taste buds, like legitimately messed up my taste buds. And I infamously love Chili's. So this is fascinating for me as an outsider. Establishing yourself as a local influencer using the food and beverage space is actually, and I'm not downplaying what you have created, I'm more like leaning into it, that it is actually fairly quote unquote easy to do, right? Like restaurants want you to take us through like the playbook of like, if I wanted to become a local influencer, like a niche local influencer, what would I do?
Start posting. Right. So the first part of this is posting, but also, again, I know it's overused. We all say it all the time, but like, be authentic. What are you interested in? Are you interested in food? You specifically are interested in Chili's. So like, where would you go? Like, you should go to the local Chili's. Actually, someone I know from someone I went to school with, his handle is Respect the Chain, and he started straight up with chain restaurants. He liked
Stop
chain
it.
Restaurants. Yes.
I
and
love this.
It's great. He's huge on TikTok. His name is Sam. He like started out specifically for chain restaurants he's grown like tremendously because that's what's authentic to him. That would never work for me. I don't like a chain restaurant, except there are a couple I do like. Like, don't get me wrong. Give me Taco Bell. Love. Okay. I love Houston's or the Hillstones. Like, give me that chain till the day I die. I love it. Capital Grill. But again, I'm not a chain girly. Like, I like a hole in the wall. I like anything from like hole in the wall barbecue to Michelin star, but like, I don't want Chili's. Like,
so,
like, I just,
feel like we're also
no
like,
disrespect to Chili's.
I feel like I'm also like very much pigeonholing myself into like, that I'd like, I don't know. I can get freaky with a sophisticated meal. I think there's also a defense mechanism there of like being a child of the recession and like not. I remember the first time that so when my husband got called up to the big leagues, we were in Miami, and I remember we went to Prime. What is it? Prime
112 in Miami.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I remember us sitting there and like looking at the menu and being like, we can afford everything. Like, we can afford an hour.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know, like when you go when you are like when you. Are poor.
Yeah.
When you don't have any money. There's the starters and the appetizers and the soups and salads and the sandwiches / handhelds. And then you flip to the entree section, and entrees are not an option. Like, you can't.
Right.
We would skip over the entree section of the menu because it's like not a thing. Like, I would never have a steak. I would never order
1,000%.
A steak for like, and back in the day too, during the recession, like a steak was like $25 or like $30. And it was like,
right.
That's not happening on my budget. But
no,
when
I
you got called
college?
Up, we were like, we can order in the entree section. Like,
yeah.
Entrees come with sides now, too. Like, you have to order those separately.
What are you talking like, about? What?
Tell me this. How's the dining in Tallahassee? Is it advanced?
So it is. Well, maybe now it is. When I was there, it was not. But yeah, when I was in college, like, I got a certain amount of money and I sometimes had to decide, am I putting gas in my car or am I getting groceries this week? Or like, what am I doing with this? So get that, 1,000%.
I think that's why one of the things that I like about your content is it's very cost. I feel like your taste profile is very bougie. And I'm saying that complimentary. Like, I feel like I
My
trust your judgment.
Is bougie.
It's extremely bougie. And I'm bougie too. Like, like with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust your judgment. Like, I feel like as an outsider following your content, like I trust your judgment. I trust your taste, but I also know that you're cost aware.
Yeah.
Like, you do a good job of storytelling those, like, those, like, you storytell well in those
post.
Thank you.
But at the beginning, so when you first started out, like, would you tag restaurants? Like, would you approach them asking if, like, they would pay you for some content? Or, like, how did you?
I would not. I started out really early when, like, influencing wasn't really a thing. And I didn't even know that this was something that could be a thing. So I just started posting the food. And then when I could, this was before you could even tag people in the posts, right?
Oh,
I am
yeah.
dating myself because I'm old. Right?
Yeah.
Here. But yeah, once you can start tagging places, I would tag the locations and the restaurants and tag people in it. And I just posted what I was ordering. I posted what I loved. And then I think maybe, I don't know, 6 months into it, someone reached out to me, another influencer, and they're like, I'm hosting a dine. Like, do you want to come? And I had no idea what that was. I was like, wait, okay. So you want me to come to this? It was a barbecue restaurant. It was in Fort Lauderdale. And they're like, it's going to be a group of other influencers like coming to take photos. You'll have all the food for free. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, how cool is this?
So who was hosting it? Like was it a PR company or?
No, it was another influencer.
And what year was this? Or when was this?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. It was like 2015. It was like a really long, 2016 maybe.
Oh, interesting.
Really long time ago. I think it was the girls from SoFlo Foodie and like Miami Girl Foodie, like she was the one who like reached out and was like, hey, like we're going to this dine. Like, do you want to come with us? And I was like, sure. I was like, okay. And then started getting introduced to more of this and just,
and so anyone that
spiraled from there.
Anyone that is not in your vocabulary, mm-hmm. like you and Hallie get invited to all the dines, media dines. So mm-hmm. explain to the people.
What is a media dine? Wait,
do you listen to Smartless?
No.
You know, oh God, oh, it's so good. It's such a good podcast. But they have, so, you know, Sean Hayes from Will and
Grace?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's him and, you know, Smartless is, right? Like,
yes.
Jason Bateman and mm-hmm. Will Arnett. So yes. They always like pause and will explain things for Tracy, Sean's sister.
Okay.
Like if they say something that's like in the industry of like the movie or the entertainment industry, they'll be like, well, for Tracy, what this a media dine is. Yeah. I need like a, in the hype seat, I need to be like, so for Ian, what a media dine. What is a media dine?
Okay, so there are two different types of dines. So there used to be like what's called a group media dine, where like either the restaurant or someone would host like a media dine where it's like all these influencers coming to the restaurant at the same time. They're bringing out all the food and everyone's taking pictures at once. Or there are restaurants that will invite you in for a media dine where it's like you and you can bring a guest. Two of you, you can go eat at the restaurant, order whatever you want and take the photos.
And do they do that like when the place is opening? Like, is that like a like soft launch as part of the?
Yeah, so it depends. So yes. So when restaurants open, they'll have people come in like beforehand to like hype up the restaurant, tell people it's opening, tell people how great the food is. There's also times where it's already been open. Maybe they want more social media traction. Maybe they want to showcase like holiday menus or specific dishes, or like in Florida, summer is the off season. So they want to highlight certain like things like restaurant month or events going on for the summer.
And so how do you get on a list to get invited to stuff like that? Asking for
I don't
a friend,
know.
Purely asking for a friend.
I honestly have no idea how most of these PR companies have gotten my email. I think they just like click my email in my profile or they've DM'd me. So I have a lot of DMs, a lot of emails. If I haven't answered recently, I'm so sorry because...
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
She's been a little busy quitting my company here.
Basically, I've been working like a slave for years. Same. And I haven't
Guys,
been able
back.
To...
Never Not Eating is back. She's available. She's
now available. I'm available, so I'll answer all your emails that are 3 years old.
Does, Do you get paid to go to media dines?
So no and yes. So there are some restaurants that have budgets to bring people in. And usually with restaurants, it's a smaller budget, right? Unless it's like a big chain or somewhere with a big budget. But most restaurants, or at least the ones that I like, are mom and pop restaurants. Like, they're not paying people to come in. They're inviting someone to come in and showcase their stuff for in exchange for social media like coverage. Usually where like brand deals and things like that come in, it's like with bigger brands like Oreo or Lando Lakes or like...
Talk about the Lando Lakes, the butter collab you did. I feel like you like came to the office.
I did it for their queso.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yes. Yeah. But no, they reached out. It was a PR company that reached out to me.
I feel like I've reaped the benefits.
Oh yeah,
of
Delivery
your...
Dudes. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, yeah. You had a bunch of them.
I've had a lot.
Yeah, that's like
I've
how you get paid.
And I don't even like, again, like I like don't even use my social media as an example. There are so many others that are so much better. And again, because you need consistency, you need to be authentic and like what you like, what you enjoy, and also what works for the audience, right? So I can think of like specifically two different influencers in the food space where like they were doing a lot of different things. They found a video that did really well. They kept doing it. And now they have increased their follower count from 10,000 to over 100,000.
Yeah.
There's one who has millions. They've been doing, the one who has millions has, or I wouldn't say millions, maybe like half a million followers. They've been doing it a lot longer and a lot more consistently. The one who I know is now over 100,000, really recent, and it happened overnight, but again, figured out what worked, kept doing it, was consistent, and it aligned with who they are.
So, yeah.
Like, you have to make sure all of those things are aligning to be successful in it. And you can do
people
really well.
Yeah, because people are following you for your opinion. Like, literally, mm-hmm. they're following you. It's the same template if you're a real estate agent or a business where someone is hiring or following you. I think you and I have this in common, and we talk about this all the time. Like, I could give two shits about my own following.
Yeah.
Like, I just am not, and I know this is, it's fun for me. It's, like, cathartic to, like, put out content, but I'm so much better at helping other people grow.
Yes.
Like, I swear to God, I feel like you and I should, like, do this as almost like a test joke, like first one to 100,000 followers. And I feel like it would take us maybe a month.
It
like,
would really not take
not
that
even
long.
2 seconds.
It yeah. wouldn't take that long, but I don't care. Like, I don't care about my own following. Like, I like doing it. I like doing it because I know like people will reach out to me. They DM me. Like, they're like, what are your thoughts on this? Like, did you actually like this restaurant? Where would you go for a birthday? I got recognized at an Apple store, which I thought was the crazy, in Boca. And I was like, what is going on? I called my friends. I'm like, this is so weird. I was like, I don't understand. But I don't care. Like, I'd rather, again, that's always been on the side. I've always had a full-time job and I liked doing it for other people or helping other people get there.
Yeah.
Of like, this is what you need to do. Now follow this path. And I promise you, like, if that's what you want,
I think
you will be able
there's
to
also
it.
Like, there's, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like we have this in common. There's like a thrill in building someone else, helping someone else build their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably because I have my own already figured out.
Yeah.
Like, I spent 2 seconds on like my TikTok stuff and it's like, okay, oh, I know how to go viral now. Okay. And like,
okay, I'm
next.
Good.
Like, I'm, let me help you. Let me help
that
you.
Is,
let me help, like, give me your phone. Let me like record you do it. Like, now do this because I know that's going to make it. You know, I don't care about my own. Like,
yeah.
And it really, and it's funny because it's not a sour grapes, like, defense mechanism. Like
no.
I genuinely really, and I feel like it's like that
no,
for you
it's
too.
The same thing. And I, honestly, it's probably because we have ADHD and we're like,
yeah.
It's like once I learn how to do something and I'm like, oh, I got it and I know how to do it. I'm like, okay, now I'm bored.
Yeah.
Not bored, but like, I don't need to do it for me. But like, if you want to do it, I would love to help you get there and help you do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't need to do it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I kind of figured it out. I mastered it as much as I can. And I'm like, now I need something else.
I do think though that like your,
I just want to help somebody else to do it.
I feel like your retirement here, Ariel retirement tour.
If anyone wants to fund my retirement, please. If you are out there listening, I will give you my Venmo.
I think it's important
at Never Not Eating.
I think it's important to maybe like disclose that like she's not leaving to go live her best life because her like husband's rich. Like we're not. That's
no.
Not, like
oh, believe me, I wish it was.
There's a personal reason why Ariel is taking a step back.
Yes.
Full stop. But I do think that in your retirement, with air quotes around it, I do hope that you find, like, I genuinely feel like you should find the passion for it again, because I do think you're such a good, like, I think when you're in your element with, like, enjoying food and the, I feel like, A, you enjoy food and the art of food. But I think you also, you're really good at telling the story of the art of hospitality. I love your takes when you talk about service and the experience. I feel like you do a really good job of storytelling around that, where a lot of other foodies are really hyper-focused on, which is fine, hyper-focused on the food fundamentally. Mm-hmm. But I think you do a really good job of explaining the experience of a restaurant.
Yeah. Well,
do you,
thank you.
Enjoy that?
Yeah, I do. So again, you are going for an experience at this restaurant. It's you are choosing to spend, someone's choosing to spend their money there. And I am deciding whether if I'm posting about it, I'm yes, I'm endorsing where you should be doing this. And it's, believe me, I love good food. I love a hole in the wall. But I will tell you about the experience. I'm going to tell you what it's like walking through the door, if the service was good or not good. I'm going to be honest in it. And I always actually tell the people who invite me also is that I'm going to be honest. Usually I'm only posting good things. So if there's a dish I liked, if there are things that I like about it, that's what I'm posting about. Because I'm not here to bash restaurant or take away business from them. That's not what I would ever want to do. But I do want to be honest and transparent in what I liked about something, what I didn't like, and tell the story about just, again, the entire experience. If you're going out for a date night, if you want to go out with the girls for a drink, where's the best place to do that? Where you're going to enjoy the drinks, you're going to enjoy the food, you're going to have good service, you're not going to just be sitting there waiting for no one to come back to the table.
Do you feel like there was a responsibility, or do you feel like there's a responsibility if you have an awful experience to share that with your audience?
I do to some extent, and I have. There have been two separate occasions. It's only two in the years that I've had my platform. Is there is this one restaurant in Delray that, and I live in Delray.
Name them.
I didn't tag the restaurant. I didn't say the name. It was awful. The service, terrible. The food,
was this recently?
This was maybe 3-4 years ago at this point. Awful. And I did storytell about it, and I was like,
wait, where was it? Mouth it to me.
I don't think you'd know it.
Oh.
It's called
Chili's.
It's called Chili's. No.
I don't think you'd know it.
We can bleep this out. It's called.
Oh, okay.
It's this little place on the corner in Delray. You have no idea where this is. You've never heard of it.
No, I haven't.
And
did it seem like I did, though? I'm in the know?
No, I know you. You're just going to say yes, and I know you don't know it, so I'm just going to keep going. It's fine.
Don't leave me.
Carry on. But it was literally awful from the service.
Wait,
so
what did you say on your feed?
Was literally there is this restaurant in Delray. I was this is the worst experience I've had in a restaurant, I think, in years. I was I do not like to talk badly about a restaurant, but if you are in the area, this is not something I would recommend. Here are my list of restaurants in Delray to go to. Go for it.
Good for you.
That was just because of how awful it was.
Do your foodie compadres, because you have a pretty big circle, a sphere of foodies, right? How many would you say in South Florida, which is, I will include three counties. So Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach County. How many mainstay food bloggers
are there?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, there's so many, and new ones are popping up every single day.
And would you say that there's still opportunity for everyone? Yes. I feel like it's such a...
No.
This is why I was saying it's an easy, and I'm putting such air quotes around easy, because everything is hard. Everything is hard.
Of course. It's hard to do.
But
if you are, again, if you're consistent, if you're authentic to what you like and the content, if you see what's working, if you're looking at the algorithm and see what's working, you can understand what people like and how you can make it authentic to you in places that you like.
So among your food bloggers, though, do you guys talk about that kind of, first of all, does anyone roast restaurants where they will give an honest opinion like that?
No, or is it no one general, that I know.
Will you then shoot yourself in the foot from being invited?
I think it also depends how you're doing it. Also, I will now also go to a lot of restaurants and post stuff, whether they invite me or not. And again, it depends on if I like it, because if I genuinely like the experience, I want to share it with people. Where some, and you'll know or may not know who they are when they're posting, is they're posting it because they were invited, they were getting paid, and that's it. Some of them do really well, some of them don't. But
do you have to
disclose
that? Do you feel like you should?
I think it should be disclosed if you're invited. I do.
Mm.
I don't know if I actually have necessarily all the time.
I feel like the disclosure around influence is overdone.
Yeah.
That might be a hot take. Like, as a consumer, I don't care to see the, like, hashtag ad or, like, the hashtag, like, disclosure. Like, it's
or
almost
invited
like,
or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like it's, like, that is, like, oh, my God. It's, like, when people give too much, and, you know, I'm, like, a point to the passer girl. Like, I love giving credit where credit is due. I own a company called fucking Hype Boss, for God's sakes.
I know.
But I think that the disclosure around, like, giving credit to things is sometimes, like, way overdone. I think the media space is the worst with this. I've recently, like if there's like a piece of like a video that goes out and it's like you're calling out like all the different the AV guy and that, like there's like a thing of like 10 different tags. And yeah, it's like yeah. Just I don't want to know if you're paid to go to the restaurant. I want to know if it was good. Like,
right. But that's yeah. The problem, right? Is like if they're getting paid, they're going to post it no matter what.
Yeah. But would you like or would I the good food bloggers like would they still like your sphere of people like are there?
I think there are some that would and some that wouldn't. I choose to associate myself with the ones that wouldn't post it just because they're getting paid.
Yeah.
But there are definitely people that do it.
I'm just trying to stir the pot here.
It's fine.
Just trying to create some drama for you.
But I think it's funny because a lot of people that I know that have gotten, that were always big and have gotten a lot bigger have pivoted actually especially since COVID. So again, it was a lot of restaurant content and you'll still see a lot of restaurant content, but there was a lot of people doing restaurant content that pivoted to cooking, to learning how to cook, to working with brands that you can use at home where they're being paid by the brand, which is actually better for their like personal yeah. brand and for their, to make money.
Yeah.
Like in all
yeah,
honesty.
Land O'Lakes queso.
Land O'Lakes queso.
We love that week at the office. Like all we were eating was Land O'Lakes queso.
Yeah. Oh. Or when we have delivery dudes and we can get any restaurant and delivery dudes is paying for it. It's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was good content from the...
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really good. if you are... So those opportunities, how did they... Like getting kind of in the weeds with that and then I'll leave you alone about it. But if you are trying to make a living doing this, mm-hmm. do those deals come to you? Like delivery dudes, like are... So do you grow, is the playbook like you grow your account to a point where then the brands are coming to you? Or is there like, and I'm asking because if you're an influencer in the, like, on the, where you, food influencing is so interesting because it's so hyper-local. Like you can only go to the restaurants where you can drive to unless you're like Anthony Bourdain or like you're able to, you want to be like a national food blogger or international food blogger, right?
Yes.
But typically it's so quote unquote easy because there's so many options to influence in your local market, right?
Yeah.
So... And you're not adding yourself to like impact or like one of those like third party influence aggregators that like mm-hmm. that where brands can come and find you.
Right.
So to get the big brand deals like delivery dudes, mm-hmm. are you putting yourself on those third party like aggregators? You know what I'm talking about? Like those yeah. third party impact is one of them. What are the other ones? There's
a few. I honestly
like CJ.
Can't remember the names of them at the moment. I can find out if you want. They're in my email.
Yeah.
But yes, I have been on some of those. A lot of them, because again, like I've always had the full-time job. Like that's never been like my full-time goal to become an actual influencer. Is all the ones that I've had have been where they've reached out to me. And that if you want it to be a career and you want to do this for a living, not only should you be, of course, taking those, but you should also be pitching yourself to brands that align with you, to restaurants, to hotels, to airlines, to anything like that. Pitch yourself to them. The worst that can happen is they say no. If you start gaining traction, like get a manager, like get someone who's done it and built it before and like has other clients and like they'll bring you to the next level. Like if that's really what you want to do, like follow those things. Like
have any of your food blogger friends, do they have agents?
Yeah, they have managers or like a team or like things like that where like they're helping them get gigs. I know like one person who doesn't want to do that because they don't want to give a percentage of what they'll earn to the manager.
Yeah.
But also you'll get more business from that. So it really just depends on how big you want to grow, like what space you're in, like what your experience level is in.
Yeah.
So
what do you think? So first of all, Never Not Eating is open for business. If you want to pay her to come eat your food. And give it back. She's back, baby.
Except I am supposed to be getting married in October, so I'm trying to eat less. So
if you want to sponsor her wedding.
No, seriously.
But actually.
If you're in the Four Seasons
do you have to use their, your wedding venue, do we have to use their cake?
So it's funny because I...
What can people sponsor at the Ariella Ian wedding?
So it's really funny. So...
And by the way, this was not planned. This is not planted, but I love this for you.
There is a woman. Her name is Serena. I am obsessed with her. I love her. And like we started DMing through Instagram just because of my content. And she makes cakes in South Florida. She's in Fort Lauderdale. She is the best. If you need a cake, please go see her if you're in Fort Lauderdale.
How do you spell Rena?
Sabrina.
Oh, it's Sabrina. Oh,
no, with an S.
Oh, Sabrina.
Yeah, Sabrina. Oh, like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, like that. So we had been messaging and she was like, hey, listen, like I've made desserts. I think this was even during COVID potentially. She's like, come grab some. I want you to taste everything that I've been making. And they were to die for. I posted about it. Like she's great. And then we ended up where I was getting a cake from her for my birthday. I want to say at this point, like 4 or 5 years ago. This cake was amazing. I had a birthday party, like a small thing with a few of my girlfriends. They
Thanks
all tasted
for the invite.
It. Sorry. where they all tasted it. They all loved the cake. Every single one of them has now gotten birthday cakes, baby shower cakes, gender reveal cakes, kids' birthday party like cakes, and desserts all from her. And reached out to her. I was like, hey, I'm getting married. I need you to make my cake, and like I will be buying my wedding cake from her. I'm not asking for a free cake from her. I literally just genuinely love her cake. I am supposed to be getting married in the Fort Lauderdale area. Let's hopefully that still happens. TBD, that was drama today.
Put a pin in that.
So TBD, but
cake
if
is
it's
figured
still
out.
Getting married in Fort Lauderdale, I will still be using her for my cake. She's wonderful.
I think it's so fascinating how influence, like micro nano influence works. Like you just described a situation where your friends have now purchased and ordered cakes because you found this person, you love this person. Like that is like the hype girl mentality the influencer, like harnessing your influence and helping a business, whether she paid you or not, you know, like is irrelevant. The power of influence though is what is so interesting. So paying for that exposure is like, if you're a small business, I think there's so, and here's the thing, if you're a small business and you have a great product, there are a lot of small businesses and a lot of businesses that don't have a great product. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that kind of gently because a lot of businesses fulfill the need of speed or of geography. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of like HVAC companies, for example, that just are the only HVAC company in Des Moines, Iowa. So they have all the business. So it's like, you don't really need to pay, you know, for because it's whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, if you have a great product, I think leveraging influencers is such a smart thing to do. Did she give you promo? Did she give you anything besides the initial?
No.
Like, so when
the
you had
the initial desserts and cake, the yes. Since then, no.
Yeah.
And
so her output as a business, so she spent money on the initial like outreach to you and other influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And then that resulted in, right?
Yeah. And that resulted in, I tasted the cake and I was like, I tasted originally her first dessert and I was like, this is fantastic. I was like, these are some of the best desserts I've ever tasted. She actually won one of the like food shows on Netflix, one of the cake shows on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
It was a Christmas one. Mm. And then she went back on another show more recently. I don't know. I tasted her desserts. They were fantastic. I was like, wow, like everyone needs to eat these. And then the cake, and then other people tried the cake again at the birthday. And I was like, it's going to be reasonably priced. She makes a great product. It's super detailed, but it also tastes great. I was like, I don't think you can do better. I was like, this is what's great in Fort Lauderdale. Like,
I love that.
If you are in this area, like, use this person. And every single one of my friends has now ordered at least 2 to 3 cakes from her.
Oh, I love it. That's so cool. Tell me this.
Yeah.
And then I will let you go. Said that now 5 times.
That's okay.
As someone who was devastating, a marketing director for a fairly high profile brand.
Fairly.
Local brand.
Mm-hmm.
Unique local brand. What do you think, and as someone who made yourself so valuable from jump, what do you think, so as a marketing director in 2021, 2022, 2024, like where there's so many platforms, there's so many things. Like marketing is such a big thing in 2025. Like it's funny. Like I see these job posts all the time because I have this like I have like a guilty pleasure of like getting job posts for marketing things so I can see like what the Fortune 500 companies are demanding of their teams now. Mm-hmm. I will say, I think Fortune 500 companies have it figured out where they know that like marketing, advertising, branding, social media are different roles.
Yeah.
But as a small business, you can't afford that. Like you can't afford to have all of those different roles. So you have people that wear many hats until you can afford to add someone. That's in my opinion, the best way to do it. Like find someone that can do it all and then immediately give them help when you can afford it and then immediately give them help when you can afford it and whatever. So what do you think made you so good at being a marketing director and like a jacket of all trades? Like why were you, because your marketing experience up until that point was in a different industry entirely, mm-hmm. right? And do you think that like stepping into a real estate, like just banter on that a little bit, like what?
So it's so funny that you asked that because I like my first gut response is like, I don't know, but also like, I think it has to do with the person and like wanting to figure things out and wanting to learn and like being interested in it. Like, I think like those things are super important. Like if you are like you're curious, like you want to learn and you work hard and like you want to figure things out, like because it's interesting to you, I don't know, you'll just get it done. I think there are people that have like a sense of urgency, not just a sense of urgency, but like also a sense of like wanting to like figure things out and help the other, like help their business grow or help whatever it is. And there are people that just don't have an interest in it. And I think those people with that attitude, with no sense of urgency or with no like drive, like you're not ever going to get it from that type of person.
Yeah.
I guess I think it's more about the type of person versus like their experience level or their education background. I will say, I do think having a higher education helps. I do think having the right background experience in certain things help. But again, it's all about like the drive, the grittiness, the like, yeah. you know, like the hustle.
On
like
the
we talk about the hustle muscle. Yeah. Like being yeah. on the ball and like, if you don't know it, figuring it out instead of just being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference in like, okay, I don't know this, but I want to know and I'm going to figure this out or I'm going to ask the questions to figure it out versus like, I don't know, I'm washing my hands of it.
I think one of the things that I actually kind of forgot about this when you first started, I think one of the things that made you so freaking valuable to me was how I would ask you to do something, meaning like I think also being a big picture leader with ADHD, I like to talk about what the end result is and then like how it gets done. It's not that I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. Like it's like, I care that you're like happy with the process, but I don't care.
Yeah.
One thing that I think marketing people get in the weeds on is the process of the end result. And if like you have a leader that wants the end result, it's such a mistake to ask them what the process is of getting there, because big picture thinkers don't have a process for anything. Like they're not implementers. They're not like, and so I think early on what you did so well was, I remember when you would come into the office, I would ask you like, how did you do that? And you have this like laugh where you're like, no worries. It was 10 hours on the phone with support. Like you always say like, no worries. When you're about to give me something.
It only took me 12 hours and 37 minutes and 18 phone calls, but I figured it out. But no worries.
No worries. It's so funny because you're about to tell me that it took you an insanely long time to figure it out. No worries. Just was on support with Realtor.com for 14 hours, but no worries.
Haven't called me back for 3 days, but I got it. It's okay.
Or I also think that when you, like, I feel like the thing that is going to be so irreplaceable about you is that I have such a trust in you that it's either that whatever it is that I need done is either going to get done or you're going to be able to demonstrate to me why it can't be done. Instead of, like, there's no giving up, though, unless you're giving up because it's genuinely not going to happen.
Right, or it's not. There's no capability of it happening, but yeah,
and
you
like
is,
like
figured
that out.
It. Yeah,
yeah, and like you've done everything to exhaust the because also, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs have this in common where it's like I don't want to be in a position where I go then spend 3 hours trying to figure out if you were right,
right,
that it couldn't be done, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like you genuinely exhausting every avenue. And like, it's hard to explain like how important that dynamic is with marketing.
Right.
Because like, in, like, it's like everything from like our website, like you've untangled so many things over the years, like the mechanics of the like printer and the website and, oh my God, the MLS.
Gosh.
There's so much that you were in charge of. Like, oh my God, for the love of God, if anyone listening to this is an expert in Facebook Meta bullshit,
please. Oh my gosh.
I will pay, not a lot of money, but I will pay money to have someone come into our, in fact, I will invite you back just so we can sit with someone and be like, show me how to do this.
Yeah.
The right way. Because that business, what am I even saying? Help me.
Just
the
Meta business suite, I guess, or like, it changes every day.
First of all,
it actually changes every week, and because they don't want you to figure it out. They do not want you to figure it out.
I think they don't.
They don't.
I truly
believe that.
And I think that if you own a business and you're listening to this and you're frustrated with your team that can't figure out Facebook, it's not even like ads and like it's the whole thing with Meta. Don't be frustrated with your team because it's really complicated. And this is coming from two people who can pretty much name it, we'll build it. If we, like, I feel like a 12-hour threshold, like we can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
Except Facebook shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am going to miss you so much. I feel like after we're done with this recording, she should just leave, right? Like, I feel like you should just.
I'm just done.
You should just get up and like leave the building. Like, we're not going to have like a dramatic goodbye. We're not going to hug.
We should just
drive away. No, right? I hugged you earlier and it felt so weird.
Like, what?
Thank you so much for everything. You've been the light of this Meyer Lucas family. The agents don't even know yet.
No one knows.
I know.
I literally just told your dad and he's like, wait, what?
What do you think I should say? Can you tell them for me?
This is the official announcement. As you heard at the beginning of this, I gave like 8 weeks notice. But Holly didn't want to believe that I was leaving. So now today's the day and still no one knows. So surprise.
Ugh. I'm not telling everyone I fired you. Can I actually share this? This is really funny. So we have a client and I'm okay with putting this on the interwebs.
Please tell her.
I am going to put this on the interwebs. Well, so we have this client who is a total nightmare and our contract with her is up. Thank God. But we were trying to figure out how to like gracefully just exit. And I was like, I'm just going to say that I fired you, like just to not have to deal with, like, cause that would be a conversation ender. Did not fire her, fought tooth and nail to try to keep her. Actually, I didn't. I feel like I was texting Ian yesterday, asking for your address. And
he did tell me later. He's like, Holly asked for your address. I was like, she has my address. I work for her.
I know. I couldn't find it though. And this is like classic, like working for me in a nutshell. Like I couldn't find it. So I was like,
So you text the fiance
basically
to be like, what's your address? Because I also don't want her to know. But then he tells me that you asked for it.
That's like literally working for a visionary type entrepreneur in a nutshell, like being prepared to answer the same question 1,000 times, even though it's like, Hallie and I were joking the other day, like, what's the password for ABC12? Like, I ask that so often. Like,
save it.
And
just save it.
Well, the thing is, your answer is it's on the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
But knowing that.
No, I know.
Me,
I would never tell you it's on the spreadsheet. I would just text it to you because I know you're not going to the spreadsheet to find it. You're in it right now and you need.
I'm good at a lot of things. That is not one of them. Anyway, so I text Ian asking him for your address.
Yep.
As one does. And, where was I headed with this? Oh, I almost like, so I was
going, firing me?
No. I was going back and forth with him a little bit about how, and I started to type this and then I just decided not to, but that like, I was like, I feel like I should have tried to keep you, but like, I feel like that would have hurt our relationship maybe. Tried to like convince you to stay or like thrown more money at you that I don't have. Like, you know, like I feel like it's almost like better this way. And correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I think so. And like, I'm not leaving because of like, I got a new job. Like I'm making more money. Like I'm making no money now. So again, if anyone needs my Venmo and wants to support my retirement, please do.
Buy your Rilla drink. I love it. Anyway.
You know that, what's the movie where she's like, what do you mean he wants to buy me a drink? Can he buy me mozzarella sticks? Like,
Oh, that, yeah.
So much.
Like, I would much rather have the mozzarella sticks. Like, I don't need the drink. I already have one. Like,
while we're at it, like, I would like Manolo Blahniks for you, not mozzarella sticks. Yes. Like, let's aim higher.
Yes. Let's
aim. Oh, wait. Okay, so final thoughts, though.
Yeah.
Did you see the Bukan? Oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. Their hospitality is like crossing over into fashion. Like there's all this like experiential stuff happening.
Yeah. And oh, I love.
Did you see the Bukan and airline collaboration?
No.
Okay,
oh my God, I need to go look at this.
Yeah. So
okay.
I almost texted it to you. So Bukan and I want to say NetJets, one of them, it like a culinary like collaboration.
I love this.
Right?
So good.
So smart. Yes. I feel like a lot of brands are doing that right now. Like with like.
They are.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's the future of your foodie world.
I love it. I'm actually here for it.
I know.
Like really
it's here
for
it. It's the flight to Montauk, apparently. Or Martha's Vineyard, maybe.
Oh,
it's like the direct, not the direct, but the charter that they do consistently.
I love that.
It's like catered by Bukan now. Smart, right?
Yeah, really smart.
Anyway.
One of the airlines was doing it with Shake Shack in the first class.
Oh,
one
interesting.
Yeah.
Was it our guy, Delta?
It could have been Delta. I don't think it was, though. Maybe it was.
We love
actually,
Delta.
It could have been. I love Delta.
Was it? I think it was Delta.
I think it was actually it? Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember.
I feel
moment.
Like more should be doing that. Like it's
1,000%.
That's like it's such an opportunity. And the Brightline too. The Brightline should white label not white label.
They should partner with like a restaurant in Miami, one in Fort Lauderdale, one in Boca, one in West Palm, Orlando.
You should pitch that. You're a free agent
hear
now.
It here.
You're a free agent now. You can do whatever you want. I love you. I love you so much. Thank you for your service. You.